to anything or anybody, it would be to Jesus Christ. And if we stand together, I'm going to read in just a minute the Gospel of the New Testament. Message, subject today is a broad one. A broad one in that I even hate to preach it, because our pastor's going to preach on the same subject in the weeks to come sometimes. But I don't think any one of us alone could exhaust this subject. It's the greatest subject today. If we can ever get a hold of it, we can ever really see it. I don't think some of us have seen it yet. I don't think a lot of us have realized it. Yes, we acknowledge it with our mouth and tongue, but I don't think we really, really have seen what God wants us to see. Matthew 22, verse number 41. The Bible says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Of all the questions that they had asked the Lord, this one stumped them the most and caused them never to bring any question to the Lord, because they really, really didn't understand what he was getting at. My subject is found in verse 42, the question our Lord asked the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ?" And if I may add, Jesus' statement with that, "Whose son is he?" I wonder if you could ask. And the Bible talks about in Revelation 3, I believe it was, that the church at Laodicea needed to take eye salve so they could see some things. And this morning, I want the Lord to take some spiritual eye salve and put it on our eyes that we can see him. That we can see him. We haven't seen him yet. If we see him, we'd have a worship service second to none if we really see him. Okay? Let's pray and ask God to help us to see him. Lord, thankful today for your word, your scripture, for in them they are spirit and life. You said your words are that, Lord. Let the word go forth and give life to troubled hearts. Let it go give life to desolate places this morning, Lord. Above all else, God, open our eyes to see afresh and anew who you are, Lord. To see you high and lifted up, and to see your train filling all the temple. And that we may exclaim with the angels, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who created all that we see and know." We thank you for it today. We thank you for it today. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you today, Jesus. We love you today, Jesus. We love you today, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. And God bless all of you, and you may be seated this morning. Such a great subject today. Such a great thought today. What think ye of Christ? Who is he? No doubt the greatest revelation that has ever come to mankind. The greatest revelation is not the infilling of the Holy Ghost. As great as the experience of the Holy Ghost is, and I'm not in no way belittling the experience of the Holy Ghost. The greatest revelation that ever come to man was not revelation of truth in Jesus' name, baptism. As great as I love that wonderful truth, and I'll continue to baptize in his name until he comes. But the greatest revelation in this world that mankind has ever known was that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That is the greatest revelation, the greatest truth, the greatest knowing that you could ever know this morning was that there's one God. That's the greatest revelation in all the world. For you see, it is not enough for us to call Jesus Christ a God. It is not enough for us to say that Jesus Christ was divine. We must know that Jesus Christ was more than just a man. In Matthew 22, Jesus Christ was surrounded on every side by Pharisees who had asked him a lot of questions. And Jesus turned to them and asked them a question. He said, "What think
ye of Christ, whose son is he? They answered, the son of David, of course. That's who Christ is. And David and Jesus said this, then how did David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. If David called him Lord, then how is he his son? And the Pharisees were stumped. They were stumped. They could not answer the question that Jesus Christ presented to them. And the reason why they couldn't answer that question is they did not have a revelation of who Christ really was. They could not conceive in their minds that one called Jesus could descend to such low estate if he was God. But this is exactly what God does. For Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. They couldn't conceive that. They couldn't conceive the riches of the rich becoming the poorest of the poor. And through him becoming the poorest of the poor, that they could become the richest of the rich. They couldn't conceive it. They couldn't conceive that Christ, God in flesh, could be born in a stable among the beasts of the field. They couldn't conceive it. It wasn't proper. It wasn't right. It just couldn't happen that way, they thought. And when he grew up in Nazareth, it had even been said by one of his disciples, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They couldn't conceive it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see how anything could come out of Bethlehem stable that was God. They couldn't see how anything out of Nazareth could ever be good. It defied all logic. It defied any concept. But God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That is the bottom line. Our Gospels tell us in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Hear it now. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. We're not told in that scripture to comprehend God. We're not told to comprehend God, but we're told to believe God, to believe what he has done in Jesus Christ. The mystery of godliness. What is it this morning? Here's the mystery of godliness to you. As a man, he was born in humility. But as God, he was worshipped by men and angels. As man, he was tempted at all points like as we are. But God, as God, he defeated all and every power of the devil. As man, he prayed and taught other men. But as God, he forgave their sins. As man, he grew weary. But as God, he had all power in heaven and in earth. As man, he walked the paths of men. But as God, he took to flight and walked on waves of the sea. As man, he became hungry. But as God, he caused the bread to multiply at his command. As man, he was scorned by men. But as God, he was obeyed by demons. As a man, he suffered and died. But as God, he arose from the dead. As a man, he was laid in the tomb. But as God, he came out of that tomb of conquering death, hell, and the grave. This is the mystery of godliness. You ever wondered why that Christ had the stone removed? It was before our Genesis. He didn't have to have that stone moved out of the way to get out. He could walk through it. He walked through a wall a few days later. That stone was removed to show there's nothing in there. There ain't nothing in there. That was God. That was God in Christ right there. And he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. The mystery of God in this is that God was manifest in the flesh. What do you think of Christ this morning? Do you know who he really is? If you did, you would respond with worship. He is not the second person in the Blessed Trinity. He is not just the son of Mary and Joseph, but he is Jesus Christ, the mighty God. He is Jesus today. In Matthew 1:23, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel." I wish people would understand and read the rest of that scripture. "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, "God with us." You can't get any plainer than that. He is mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. It was for our sake. It was for your sake this morning in this room that the Lord of glory became as one of us. For your sake. It was for our sake, your sake this morning, that he suffered and sacrificed himself to redeem a people. It was for our sake this morning that he was manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ this morning, and I hope we see before I get through today, he was Emmanuel, God with us. I hope this morning that he becomes more than just a God to you. I hope this morning that he becomes more than just a good man to you. But I hope we realize and recognize today, as the people of his day did, he came into his own. He came into his own. They didn't receive him and they didn't know him. God forbid that we look and do the same thing as they did. We need to recognize him and to receive him in this place. The Jews didn't receive him. He came to his own people, and his own people didn't receive him. He came to the people, the ones he called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He came to them, and they didn't even know him. The Jews received the visitation from Almighty God. The God of heaven was being revealed in Jesus Christ. John 1:18 says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Jesus Christ was God manifest in flesh. I can't say that enough this morning. Jesus Christ was God manifest in flesh. Jesus claimed to be deity in the tabernacle of flesh. In the tabernacle in the wilderness, if you study it, you find out that there was a curtain that separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. This was known as the veil. The veil is what separated the holy place from the holiest of holies. And according to the book of Hebrews, the Word of God teaches us that the presence of God in the holiest of holies was considered to be the very presence of God. That's where it dwelt. That's where it was, behind that veil. Behind that veil. And in the book of Hebrews, the flesh of Jesus Christ is to be considered the veil. The veil wrapped around the holy presence of deity. Hebrews 10 is where it's found, verse 19 and 20. It says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, his flesh. Jesus Christ was God. He declared God. He was God in flesh. He is the veil this morning. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ by night one night in John 3, and he said to Jesus, "We know that you're a teacher come from God." Nicodemus had enough knowing about him to know that Jesus Christ was from God. But he did not acknowledge or recognize that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. We find out later in the writings of Paul, Colossians 2 and 9, "For in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We have to have a revelation of who he is You may think it unimportant. You may think it's just something that you know or don't know. You may say, I accept the doctrines of this church. We need to get a revelation of who He is. We need to see Him as the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is not the second person in the Holy Blessed Trinity. He is not Jehovah Jr., but He is the mighty God. He is Jesus. He is robed in flesh. And in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. Philip, disciple, probed our Lord with some wonderful questions in John 14. Jesus Christ has just gotten through talking to them about Him preparing them mansions, and that where He is, they could go there. In My Father's house are many mansions. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest. How can we know the way? And we have a fabulous scripture, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. And henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. If I stopped there, that would be reason enough for me to know who Jesus was. And Philip, he didn't get it. He was blind. He needed some eyes out. He didn't see it. He said, show us the Father. We'll be satisfied if you do that. And look at what Jesus said. Verse 9, chapter 14. Have I been so long? Read that. Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? When you see Me, or when thou hast seen Me, you've seen the Father. He that has seen Me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He is the everlasting Father. He is God in flesh. He is God in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. He said in John 10, verse 30, He said, I and My Father are one. In 1 John 5 and 7, He says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in you all. What do you think of Christ today? Do you know Him? Have you seen Him? Do you really know who He was, who He is? Do you know that Jesus Christ, Colossians says, is the image of the invisible God? That's what Colossians says. 1:15, if you want to look it up. He says He's the image of the invisible God. We are told often, and I'm told this too, it don't matter whether you have the Holy Ghost or not. It don't matter if you've been baptized in Jesus' name or not. It don't matter if you repent or not. And it don't matter if you believe in one or three. It don't make any difference. I've come here to tell you it does matter. 1 John 5, I'm going to give you scripture and verse. I'm not giving you my opinion today. I'm giving you biblical opinion today. You accept it, it's of God today. 1 John 5:20-21. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know or recognize Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. God gave a command in that chapter 5 of 1 John verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Put away idols. Put away God. And this ain't just talking about stone and wood and just things that you make with your hands. But we are called upon in this scripture to put away the idols, to put away the false gods of imagination and of tradition as well. We have got to put those idols away and see who He really is. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is Jesus today. You have got, you can't go through this life. You have been brought to this place for a purpose today. If you're visiting with us, you've been brought here for a purpose to realize and let you know that there is one God, and you have got to settle it in your mind and your heart. What do you think of Christ? According to the Word of God in Revelation 22, He's the Alpha and the Omega. According to the Word of God in Revelation 22, this is who Jesus is. He's the beginning and the end. In Revelation 22, He's the first and the last. In Revelation 22, He's the root and the offspring. In Revelation 19 and 1 Timothy 6, He is the King of kings. In 1 Timothy 1, He is the King eternal. This is Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 8 and 6, He is the Lord. In Revelation 19, 1 Timothy 6, He is the Lord of lords. In Acts 10, 36, it says He is the Lord of all. In 2 Corinthians 5 and Matthew chapter number 25, He is the judge of all. In John 8, He is the great I am. In Acts 3 and John 1, He is the author of life. In Isaiah 9 and 6, He is the mighty God. In 1 Timothy 1, 16, 17, it says, He is the only wise God. We need a revelation of who He is. He is God. He is God. His name is Jesus. Scripture, on top of Scripture in the Bible, tells us that there is but one God. His name is revealed to us in the New Testament. Scripture after Scripture. Scripture after Scripture. One God. One God. And finally, in Matthew, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. God was called by over 2,000 titles in the Bible. But He only had one name. And my Bible teaches me in Acts 4, 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, only in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, that is Jesus Christ. There is no other way today. There is no other name today. There is no other foundation today. There is no other doctrine today. Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. He was God manifest in the flesh. Man's tradition tells us today that Jesus is in or a part of the Godhead. But what I want to know today is this. I know what men's tradition says. I'm not concerned about that this morning. We're going through a long message on all those things. I'm not concerned about that this morning. What I'm concerned about is us. What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Do you know who He is? Is He holy God to you? Is He truly God to you? Is He solely God to you? Or is He a member of the board of directors of heaven? Or is He the second person? Or is He just the son of Mary and Joseph? Who is He? What do you think of Jesus today? Today there are opinions everywhere. Beliefs everywhere. All of them different. But there is going to come a day, soon and very soon, Zechariah 14:9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. God, help us today to see You. God, help us in this room today to receive and to keep a true revelation of who You are today. For I do not think that you can be saved. I may be wrong, and I'm going out on a limb. I don't think that you can be saved today without a true revelation of Him. For Jesus told His day in John 8, verse 24. He said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. It is time. It is time. In 1988, with the coming of the Lord so very near, to realize who He is. That He is the one God. That His name is Jesus. To too many of us today, He is just a healer. To too many of us today, He is just a good man. is he? Who is he? We have an infallible, inerrant book that we call the Holy Bible. The Word is not written in terminology and in riddles that you cannot understand. For Romans 1, verse 20 tells us, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly, clearly, clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul warns us today. He says, none of us have an excuse. The things of God have been clearly seen. They've been clearly revealed. And you and I are brought face to face once again with the truth, with the reality. The truth that there is but one God, and His name is Jesus. The truth that there is but one Savior, and His name is Jesus. The truth there is but one Healer, and His name is Jesus. The truth that there is but one way, and His name is Jesus. The truth that there is but one life, and His name is Jesus. And there is but one Shepherd, and His name is Jesus Christ. Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Jesus asked him, what do you think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? He is God, He is King, He is Lord. For 51 years, a man named Bob Edens was blind. He couldn't see a thing. His world was just a black hole of sound and smell. For 50 years, Bob had felt his way through just getting around, just barely making it through the darkness. And then all of a sudden, Bob could see. A skilled surgeon performed a complicated operation upon Bob. For the first time, Bob even touched sight. His first words were these when he looked at that yellow flower. He said, I never dreamed that yellow could be so yellow. He said, I never dreamed that red could be so red. He said, I can see the shape of the moon now. He said, I can watch the sunrise and the sunset now. At night, I can look up into the sky and see the stars. You just don't know how wonderful this all is. And there are those of us today, we cannot begin to imagine. Most of us today have always seen. We've always seen the beauty of the flower, the beauty of the sky, the beauty around us. We've always had sight. Bob Eden today isn't the only one who has spent his lifetime near something without seeing it. Because there are some that will live a lifetime and never see some things. You'll never see some things unless you take the time to focus upon it. If you don't focus upon it, it will not become a part of your life. Unless somehow you have your blackness lifted today. Unless sometimes and somehow the darkness has vanished today. The world to you will be but a black paint. I want you to think about it. Just because you witnessed 1,000 rainbows doesn't mean you've experienced the grandeur of one. Just because you live near a flower garden doesn't mean that you've seen the beauty of the flower. And far too often this morning, a person can be all that goodness calls him to be and still never see the author of life. Just because you're honest today, just because you're religious today, just because you're moral today, doesn't mean that you see Him. That doesn't mean you see Him. You can come to this place till Jesus comes and never see Him. Yes, you may hear what others say of Him. You may hear what others see of Him. But until you see Him for yourself, you cannot really know Him. Until we know who He really is, we cannot really know Him. And the question I ask of you today in closing today, have you seen Him? Do you really know who He is? What do you think of Christ? Who is He really? Have you thought and caught a glimpse of Him? Thomas did one day. You know what Thomas said? He said, "My Lord and my God." John seen him one day, and he wrote, "We sing in glory." The ones from Emmaus, they seen him one day. You know what they said? Did not our heart burn within us as he talked tonight? Peter wrote, he said, "We are our witnesses of his majesty." What I've come here today to tell you is this. We need to see him. We need to know him. We need to know who he is. I want to tell you, he is the emperor of Judah. He is the soaring eagle of eternity. He is the noble admiral of the kingdom. And he is the splendor of heaven wrapped up and revealed in a human body. 2,000 years ago, heaven touched earth. 2,000 years ago, heaven touched the earth. God was manifested in the flesh. He called himself divine. Yet he allowed a minimum wage Roman soldier to pound those spikes into his hands. He demanded purity and holiness, yet he stood for the right of a repentant prostitute. We today cannot regard him as just a good teacher. He cannot be categorized with the prophets that were sent to reveal to us these eternal truths. We've got to see him. We've got to know him. We've got to see him and who he is. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you and I can ever see him, if you and I can ever realize who he is, we won't be just a bunch of pew warmers. If we ever see him, they won't call us religious fanatics for nothing. When we see him, our response will be worship, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. Revelation 19, and I close. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him." Today, if we'll ever see him, our response will be like that response in Revelation 19. We will respond with worship. We will respond with praise. We will respond with a noise that will sound like the noise of many waters and mighty thundering. And we'll begin to exclaim, "Alleluia! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Christ today? Who is he? Who is he? He's our Lord and our God. He's our Lord and our God. Folks in Mendon, Louisiana, visitors, guests, if you'll ever see him, you will not help but love him. If you ever see him, you cannot keep from praising him. If you ever see and know him, worship will not become a duty or something that you just do. It will become a part of your life. Your life will be worship to him who reigns over all. I come before you today with a message. What do you think of Christ? Finally, get a revelation today of who he is. Don't just look at him as a teacher. Don't just look at this as a religion. This is an experience. This is something that we've got to have. We've got to respond to this revelation today with worship, with praise, with thanksgiving. I wish we could stand to our feet and begin to clap our hands to the Lord. He is God. He is God. He is God. He is God. He is God.